This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. Well, it's virtually unanimous. Mitt Romney steamrolled President Obama last night in the first of three presidential debates to the point where, really, it was actually kind of hard to watch, sort of like watching a Red Sox game. In fact, given the president's performance, he and Bobby Valentine may have some time to work on their golf games next year. Anyway, here with me in Studio 3 to go over the highs and lows of last night's debate are Charlie Chipio of Chipio Strategies and Aaron O'Brien, a professor of political science at UMass Boston. Welcome to both of you. We are going to be opening up the phone lines today. We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. If you're the one that thinks, since the president won, give me a call. But you can call and talk about anything debate related. What did you think about it? Did it change your vote? If you were undecided, anybody think there were some missed opportunities? And hey, what did everybody think of Jim Lehrer? Anyway, Charlie, I mean, it was a head shaker. I felt that way watching it from the beginning.
On many levels, and it seemed that way right from the start where they asked that
terrible question.
Started with that jobs question, and boy, Romney was like right on it, and the president didn't even get to any specifics until his response to Romney. I was amazed. It's clear to say the certainly the best I've ever seen Mitt Romney perform. Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely at the top of his game last night.
Clear, crisp, direct, stood, so directly upright. He was always looking at the president. The president, I know he was taking notes or something, but he had that frown on his face and he was looking down. It's TV 101.
Yeah, no,
TV
that's right.
101. He didn't look
and
at the camera.
I guess I felt like it wasn't so much from a substance point of view. I didn't feel like the president did so badly in terms of the points that he made. It's just the kind of all the points he didn't make that I just found interesting from a political point of view. It almost makes me think back to the Kennedy debate, with Nixon, that if you heard it, you thought differently than if you saw it.
No, I don't think so.
Mitt Romney was, to me, the story of the night is this what we're going to see from Mitt Romney for the rest of the world?
Aaron, what was your take?
Similar. I mean, the aesthetics were terrible, as you've said, terrible. As Charlie said, just bad. That's the dramaturgy of politics. I think the follow-up to that that's really important is Mitt Romney did exactly what he had to do last night, in part because Obama didn't hit him hard on what he did in the primary. Moderate Mitt is back. And Obama let him come back and didn't push him at all. It's like the primary never happened, and he got to redefine himself to some voters who didn't even know him. And so I think the biggest takeaway is that moderate Mitt is back. The aesthetics were terrible, but he was able to do that and paint himself in a very different light than he did in the primary.
Obama didn't take a single opportunity. First of all, he never interrupted him. Which, if, as the president, I think I would have interrupted Mitt a couple of times.
Yeah.
I mean, he never brought up the video, the 47%, never brought it up. I thought Jim Lehrer should have brought it up, but
you would have thought that would have been a question. You would have thought that would have been a question.
Yes.
And the Red Sox metaphor continues. Swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss. He got teed up. He got set up and didn't go for those punches. And, of course, one line is, he was trying to be presidential and these things. Well, it looked like he played it safe, and by playing it safe, he didn't play.
Yeah, no, and I think, Aaron, your point is absolutely right, that last night we saw Romney very skillfully move to the center, and we saw Romney give him a pass and just let him do it. Absolutely. And I wonder, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But I wonder if one of the reasons that Romney was able to do that so effectively last night is because, indeed, that really is where he's comfortable, and it really is what he thinks.
We'll never know.
I don't know the answer.
And that's what Obama will be. The campaign will be firing back. Don't buy this new moderate Mitt. That's where this campaign is now.
Right.
Don't buy this. It'll be the hits.
All right, join us in the discussion here. I'm talking to Charlie Chipio of Chipio Strategies and Aaron O'Brien, professor of political science at UMass Boston. We're talking about last night's debate debacle. You can join us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I only say that because it was so one-sided. I mean, regardless of where you stand politically, you sort of hope for an even battle, and it just was so lopsided, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, at 10:28, I was on my clock, which is not Greenwich, but at 10:28 was the first time Obama said to Romney, you wouldn't stand up to members of your own party in the primaries. That is way too late. The campaign narrative was already written. Yeah, now, I do think Obama had some good policy points, and there's plenty of fodder for future commercials from what Romney said. But nonetheless,
By 10:28, the toothpicks were wearing thin in the eyelids.
People have already written their tweets and whatever.
Yeah. All right, we're taking your calls today, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. And I've got Tony from Lancaster on the phone. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, this is me. What's going on?
Pretty good. You?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to, the only thing I really wanted to say, right now, I'm still undecided as far as who I'm voting for.
Really?
I'm not really a huge, huge political guy. But I do know that I watched a debate last night and I am interested to see what everybody's doing. And it seemed to me like Romney was really aggressive, really fired up, which is funny because that's like Obama's theme right now, right? it seemed like he really just took advantage of Obama's whole campaign strategy, which seems to me to just be like, not making waves, you know?
Yeah.
Obama to me sounded like he was the Obama from his ads that you see on the TV and stuff with the little mellow voice, like he should have had that music playing in the background. I feel like even if he had the answers, he was just biting his tongue, and I was kind of disappointed. I feel like I've been leaning more towards Obama, but I feel like Romney was just so energetic last night. That might be what we need.
Yep, there's no question about it. All right, Tony, thanks for that comment.
Yeah, I mean,
hard to argue with
the
that.
President,
Tony is, by the way, 24, undecided. I don't know how anybody could be undecided at this point, but okay, Tony.
He's paying attention.
He's from Lancaster.
Paying attention.
Yeah. Aaron, we're drawing
paying
him
attention.
In from far, far
That's
away.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
But you know, the president seemed like the classic example of the football team that's up by 20 in the last 3 minutes playing a prevent defense last night.
Yeah.
But I mean, he really took it to an extreme. I don't know what he was thinking. Yeah. Other than he
and
wanted
it's
to
funny
be celebrating
it was,
his anniversary.
Right, which we get.
Yeah.
It was so civil. I had a student make this point. It was so
yes.
civil that it was nothing. And we always say we want civility in politics. Well, that was civility. That was Obama playing it incredibly safe, prevent defense, no blitz, nothing. And the narrative on the left and the right is accurate that he lost because of it and he lost some traction. He had a chance to start to put Romney away and he lost it.
I do have to say that one thing that struck me about it all, though, and this is certainly out of the mainstream. I don't think the vast voters look at it this way. But compare it to the Brown-Warren debates, there was so much more real substance to it.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, they were just, Brown and Warren are just spouting, it's like Bush in 88,
too. There was no time
limit.
Yeah,
that's true. It wasn't like, message, I care. You know,
there was
just
only an hour.
So the only, an hour and a half. So the only time it actually got tested at all, I thought, was when Jim Lehrer brought up the president's bipartisan debt commission. Romney was taking Obama to task for ignoring the recommendations of the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, which is, of course, better known as Simpson-Bowles. Here's what he said.
Will you support Simpson-Bowles?
Simpson-Bowles, the president should have grabbed that.
No, I mean, do you support Simpson-Bowles?
I have my own plan. It's not the same as Simpson-Bowles. But in my view, the president should have grabbed it. If he wanted to make some adjustments to it, take it, go to Congress, fight for it.
That's what we've done. Made some adjustments to it, and we're putting it forward before Congress right now. $4 trillion plan.
But you've been president 4 years. You've been president 4 years.
Right.
You said you cut the deficit in half. It's now 4 years later. We still have $1 trillion deficits. The CBO says we'll have $1 trillion deficit each of the next 4 years. If you're reelected, we'll get to $1 trillion debt.
Yeah, I mean, he was very forceful. He kept butting in on the president.
Yes.
He didn't let the president finish.
Right.
He was tough. He was, and that's what the president did not take an opportunity to do.
But substantively, on the substantive policy of it, Obama could say, listen, Mitt, you just said you wouldn't sign Simpson-Bowles. You would not have implemented it. And now you're saying I should have.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
You can't have, exactly.
But the president didn't say that.
And that's the point.
Should have taken a page out of your book, Aaron. All right.
Several.
Taking your calls today, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I've got Mike on the road. Hey, Mike. Where are you on the road, too? Where are you on the road, too?
Yeah.
Road to nowhere.
So, I hear a lot of analogies to a fight. And what I want to describe is, if you are viewing a debate, it's similar to viewing a fight in a sense that when you see two combatants striking one another, there's a point at which you see one begin to flag, where he's been hurt badly or he's beginning to, he becomes defensive. He will throw less strikes. And begin to lose the fight often.
Yeah, but you know, this was talking about the fight analogy, this was like rope-a-dope.
Rope-a-dope.
Wasn't
yeah.
it? It's like the old Muhammad Ali just standing yeah. there against the ropes being intentionally pummeled. That's what Obama was doing.
Yeah, yeah. He absorbed a lot of punches, and while everyone understands he's an intelligent man, he was probably thinking, that this is wrong. What he's saying is untrue. But mm-hmm. he did not counter, and in not countering, he unfortunately, for him, gave the perception that he was losing. So whether or not Romney was telling the truth is almost immaterial because Obama stood there and took it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Mike, thanks for that.
I think the caller makes a great point on there that when we use the fight, and this is true on the left and the right, when we use a fight metaphor, we use a game metaphor, which we have, or horse race coverage. All that means there's a winner and a loser. If we were to analyze this debate from, there are fundamentally different visions of government, different visions of government offered. That's a different narrative post-debate that would have different implications. So some of this fight metaphor is problematic, but Obama needs to realize that's the way it's going to be covered. To ignore that is to be perilous to the narrative right now.
And Romney, I think, did a very good job last night of being aggressive without taking it to the point where you become not likable. He was aggressive in a way that I, you know, was not over the line.
All right, here was an easy one for President Obama. This is when Mitt Romney called out Sesame Street's Big Bird, you know, saying that it was on his list of federal programs he'd cut. All right, play that.
I'm sorry, Jim. I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS. I'm going to stop other things. I like PBS. I love Big Bird. I actually like you, too. But I'm not going to keep on spending money on things to borrow money from China to pay for.
Now, that is just ludicrous. And the president should have been able to come back on that. Talking about $440 right. million. Dollars, you know, I'm not saying it's a drop in the bucket, but it certainly is in terms of the federal deficit, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the trillions of dollars. And, you know, he should have been prepared to say it's an educational program and we're at that, you know.
Because
while you're
Romney
watching
brought it up
things
because
like
it's symbolic.
Boo Boo. What's that show? Boo Boo or something?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yes.
You know?
But the PBS and going after Big Bird, I actually thought that was one of those places, one of the very few places that Romney showed that awful gaffe, awkward man, because you don't go after Big Bird, both because people like Big Bird, and secondly, on a policy side, because PBS, and he also cited food stamps, are not what's driving the deficit. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So I do think that was a policy gaffe. And, you know, if you go on Twitter, you go on Facebook, Big Bird has over 20,000 followers last night.
Right? And it's the best thing that ever happened to Big Bird.
Well, and isn't that a problem that the way, you know, that one moment did take over to some degree speaks to some of the problems in which the ways in which we cover or talk about the debate.
But look at the whole thing around EBT cards and stuff like that. The symbolism that gets people attention is certainly different than the substance of, you know, how we got this far in the hole.
Right.
Talking about last night's debate, I've got Aaron O'Brien from UMass Boston here in the studio, along with Charlie Chippio of Chippio Strategies. We're taking your calls, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. What'd you think of last night's debate? And I've got Emily from Providence, Rhode Island, with a dissenting voice. Go ahead, Emily.
Hi there. I was just going to call in. I should probably say before I start that I'm an Obama supporter, so I guess I might be predisposed.
It's all right.
But I think I just can't get over how sleazy Mitt Romney seems to me. I honestly feel like that smirk he had on his face last night, the entire debate, I just wanted to slap it off of him.
Yeah.
It just makes him look so fake. And, I mean, there are so many political issues that are, I think, what really should be the crux of, you know, the whole campaign overall. But with these debates, we get a kind of face-to-face, exposure to them. So in terms of the debate last night, at least, I think that he just seemed so fake. And, like, I mean, one of the other callers said that Obama seemed like he was in one of his commercials, but Romney seemed like he was, I don't know, trying to win an Academy Award or something. Like, it was just
I think, unfortunately, Emily, it was very effective. And if Obama had done same, you know, smirked or because it was demeaning in a sense. It was like you can't really believe what this guy is saying. And it was effective as a television viewer. And unlike what Obama was doing, which was looking down at his notes or taking notes or something, had a
I'm
big frown on his face.
With friends or something.
What?
I'm convinced he was playing words with friends.
Oh. Something like that. Okay, Emily, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Taking your calls, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Aaron, what did you think of the... It was a smirk. There's nothing, no other way to describe it. Through most of the debate,
Sure. He's winning.
Yeah.
right? But I actually think what Emily said plays into exactly what the Obama campaign is going to do now. They're going to try to... The Emily's read was sort of, I'm putting words in her mouth. He felt like a used car salesman. Mm. And they're going to try to do the smirk, but more importantly, that he's being slick. He's not being honest with you. There was a denialism of facts. He said he wasn't... there were no tax cuts in his plan. There are. He said he was not for Wall Street regulation. He is. He said he's for the less fortunate. That's what we do in America. Well, as long as those less fortunate aren't 47%. So they're going to try to use what Emily felt and saw for her. They're going to try to make that the impression that spreads. So Mitt can't be moderate, Mitt.
I think the problem they're going to have, though, is that at so many points throughout this campaign, they could jump on that, and because Mitt was playing into that, you know, and he was easily parodied in that way. The fact of the matter is that last night, at least to me, he seemed less like a used car salesman and less sleazy than at any point I've seen him. You know, I mean,
they have to create it. I agree, because they have to use the two contrast against each other,
right?
Because most people did sort of, not the caller, but a lot of people did like him. They're going to have to make the narrative.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, hey, we've got an interesting call here from Essie in Providence. She's a high school debate coach. Go ahead, Essie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
I just wanted to make the point that I was going over a lesson plan yesterday about taking notes in the debate and how important it is to take notes, and how you can easily kind of just drop an argument and how that one dropped argument can make or break the entire debate. And I felt like Romney, throughout the entire debate, was really methodical in how he got to every single one of Obama's points. And,
without taking notes.
He was not taking notes.
Yeah.
Right, and it seemed like he was. I mean, he was so... I mean, he constantly referred to, like, you know, one, two, three. He wanted to kind of point out all the points that he made. And I felt like Obama just failed to do that. You know, he dropped so many arguments and so many missed opportunities and in so many cases, especially in policy debate. You know, that's going to make or break the round for you. And your opponent can set you up. So beautifully, but if you don't take advantage of it, you're pretty much asking to lose.
So, Essie, what is your recommendation as a debate coach about taking notes? Is it a wise move or a dumb move? Because by the time you often move on. You move on to these things so quickly. You're going to go back to something.
I think definitely Obama does a really good job of kind of keeping the bigger picture. But you know, especially when using facts, and there are certain statistics and so forth that Romney was kind of throwing out there over and over again, like $716 billion, and if something like that is just constantly reoccurring in the debate, then you have to address it. If you don't address it, then you're telling your entire audience that you concede on that point. And you know, if it's a big enough point, if it's a big enough impact in the debate, I mean, from a policy debate perspective as a coach, you should vote on it.
So you should write it down. You're saying.
Yeah, I think you should write it down.
Well, he was writing everything down.
Well, I thought it was.
All right, thanks, Essie.
I thought it was a very interesting look inside the two men last night. In that Romney, President Obama is clearly a big picture guy, and Romney, boy, I mean, I certainly saw this when I worked in his administration. I mean, Romney has an amazing. Has an amazing mastery of facts. And you really saw that last night. He was really right on top
that
of those
studying
things.
Paid off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care if they take notes or not. Who cares? It's how they used said notes or you said debate prep. And I would agree with Charlie that last night Obama came across as a more macro guy, which can be fine because he's thinking, I've had 3.5 years to show them my policy specifics. Whereas Romney came across as a real micro guy, the policy specifics. And for most folks, apparently, they liked getting the specifics from Romney that they hadn't gotten before.
Talking to Aaron O'Brien from UMass Boston and Charlie Chipio of Chipio Strategies. We're going to be talking more about last night's debate. We're taking your calls at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. We are talking about last night's presidential debate. I'm joined here in the studio by Aaron O'Brien, political science professor at UMass Boston, and Charlie Chipio of Chipio Strategies. We got one caller who just left a message, said, this is actually the first round. Don't take this one. Don't go down and defeat in this one. The whole election is going to be a fight, and that he really believes Obama will bounce back. What do you think on that, Charlie?
Oh, I think Obama probably will bounce back. I think he's too smart and he's too good a candidate and his campaign is too good to just, you know, not learn from his mistakes. I think he will bounce back. It's this constant game of adjustments and reacting to the other side's adjustments and you know, who does the best at it. But he's certainly not going to just stay down like this and not respond to it.
We're going to be tracking this, by the way. You know, log onto our Facebook page at WGBH.org and make a comment about last night's debate, and we'll be taking a poll on this debate and then as the other two, and we'll do the vice presidential as well, sort of have a grand tally at the end, so we'll get a feeling of how you feel the both candidates did last night, and then we'll see at the end of, you know, round three how everybody feels this came out. We're taking your calls at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We were just talking about whether, you know, you think he can bounce back. What do you think, Aaron?
You know, I think the person who wrote in is 100% correct. Let's not overplay this. It's the day after. It's fun. It's the main, you know, narrative and discussion. But as Charlie said, Obama's going to adjust, and they're going to adjust quickly.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
What Romney did, but all the research suggests that debates don't move much. They never have moved polling substantially. All the swing states are still favorable towards Obama. And the fact that the economic numbers that majorities of Americans are now saying they're better with Obama or they trust Obama more with the economy, all those trend lines point towards Obama, and they point strongly towards Obama.
I'm on those e-blast lists. I don't know if you all are, too, from both the campaigns. I get constant. So last night about 10:31, you know, I get the Obama one says, I hope I made you proud tonight. And I couldn't resist. I had the email back, of course, and I just said, you were terrible. And I go, thank you for responding.
Making friends, Emily.
Taking calls today, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We've got Ann from Hillsborough, New Hampshire. Welcome, Ann. You there, Ann?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Okay. I am a listener. I don't have access to television.
Really?
Yeah, the only way I can listen to the debates are on WGBH locally. So what I got in just their voices was that Romney came off as somewhat defensive. There was an edge in his voice, and he also seemed a little more disingenuous. There was a strained sort of a tenor in his voice. And I also found his interrupting rude. Whereas Obama came across as very reasoned and calm, and perhaps as a viewer, it was too calm. And again, I don't have access to seeing what it looked like. But I thought that based on what I could hear, it sounded like a draw.
That's an interesting perspective, because we were wondering how it played on radio. And there was a couple people who said they were listening, and it came off the same way. But that's an interesting perspective that you thought it was more of a tie. All right, thanks, Ann.
And it matters what she thinks.
Yeah.
She's from
New Hampshire.
Her vote actually counts.
Amplify her, right?
Taking your calls, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We've got Bill from Northborough. Welcome, Bill.
Hi. Thank you, Emily, and your guests. It's a great show. I just wanted to add something here to the debate on the debate. I think both candidates must have had extensive coaching before they went into this. And I can't help but thinking that Obama took it easy as kind of a strategic plan, hoping that Romney would continue his record of gaffes and that Obama could stand above that, and or trying to get a reading on where Romney's etch-a-sketch is at this point so that he could then zing him on future debates on that. And then, again, stay out of the fray and just give his reasoned, careful answers and maybe, hopefully, come back swinging in the coming debate.
Well, that's an interesting perspective.
I think that was his strategy.
You think it was?
He took it too far.
Intentionally that laid back?
Well, I think he's, to be presidential. Like, listen, everything up to this suggests that Romney was going to fall flat in some sort of major way. And so if you stand above from it, and you look presidential, and this guy, to the other caller's point, seems to have a certain tension in his voice, and he did, because he had to do well last night. It was a smart play, but I don't think it ended up not working. But
didn't execute it.
Right. I think he executed it fine, actually, but Romney did well. And so he knows there's three more debates if we include the vice presidential. All the numbers are pointing in his direction right now. I just think the biggest mistake he made is let Mitt go moderate, because we were talking off air, the Republican establishment is going to let Mitt go moderate now, because all those numbers have been terrible for him, and they saw in the future that they could lose and lose dramatically. So now, ironically, Mitt, by saying 47% and, you know, they're all victims and, you know, ambulances are health care and all those other traumatic, really, really bad gaffes, they're going to let him go moderate because he's already winked at them. Yep. Here's what I really think, and I can go moderate, and Republicans are celebrating tonight because he won the debate, not understanding as much that he won by going moderate. And I think that's a really telling thing that came out of this.
I think that's the question. Will they understand that? You know, or, you know, 3 years from now, will we have another group of, you know, sort of Aikens up there, you know?
Well, I think they're going to let him. And I think it's only because those numbers are so bad. Because Romney went into this debate looking like he's going to lose and lose pretty dramatically in the swing states, Republican establishment had to say, okay, let him go moderate. And in many ways, it unintentionally brilliant.
All right. We want all of you to join in the debate about the debate. Who do you think won the debate last night? Take our poll at facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. And as I said earlier, we'll tally this up at the end of all three presidential debates and see who you think came out on top. But vote now. facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. We're taking your calls today too, 877-301-8970. And we've got, Kevin from Randolph on the phone.
Hello, Emily.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi. I've never really valued presidential debates that much.
Really?
I consider them window dressing. And I get the impression that Barack Obama doesn't value them too much.
Well,
bored.
Certainly got that impression last night.
Bored. I think he was bored. I think he has a history of not really getting his game up for debate. And last night he was handed a powder puff by Mitt Romney that anyone else, I think, would have hit out of the ballpark. Mitt Romney was claiming that the private sector can do a better job of reining in the cost of health care. Government has no business doing that. And I'm a truck driver, and I knew that I would have said to Mitt Romney, when in the last 30 years has the private sector done a successful job of reining in the cost of health care? It was the most absurd contention Romney made last night, and Obama had absolutely nothing to say in response.
Nothing,
I thought it was ridiculous. And 8 months ago, Mitt Romney was severely conservative as the governor of Massachusetts, and as everyone's pointed out today, now he's as moderate as can be. And he just let that go. I don't think Obama has an awful lot of interest in debate. And I think it shows. It showed in 2008 with Hillary Clinton. It's not his strength. Which is why I don't really value debates, because I'd rather have a guy sitting in a back room spending time thinking about what to do with advisors and a little give and take than spontaneous answers that are just off the cuff. That's not the way we govern. And so that's why I don't find them all
Kevin, you sound a lot like John Kerry, who was lowering expectations yesterday or the day before by saying, the president's been really busy running the country. He hasn't had time to study. He hasn't had time to prep for the debate. So, you know, maybe that was true.
He's going to find more time
Kevin.
And get a lot more interested after last night.
I don't think that's Kevin's point. I think he should have been the debate coach for Obama with what he said, but that he values either candidate, he said Obama, really thinking about tough issues and what is the role of government, what's the vision of government, and more than two-minute answers. And so he's sort of giving him a pass on not getting engaged in the sort of horse race stuff that is the dramaturgy of debates. And I happen to agree with him, and I also agree with what he said, that he should be the debate coach, because what he responded
with. All right, Kevin, you got a new job for you out there.
But I do think that last night is about as substantive as you're going to get in a debate like this.
Yeah. Yes.
It was.
That's
it
the
was.
Caveat.
Yeah.
Taking your calls, 301-877-8970. Did I get that right? Yeah. 877-301-8970. We've got Vincent from Framingham. Go ahead, Vincent.
Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
Good.
I'm a taekwondo instructor, totally different from politics.
What instructor?
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo, okay.
Taekwondo. But when I saw Mr. Obama, President Obama, enter the ring, to be honest, in his eye, he looked down, he was a little shy. There was something that is hidden a little bit there. He catch up later, and one thing I love about him, or I saw in him, he was afraid to put in promises that he failed, he could not back up. He have experience in what he have seen in the White House, and Romney had like a lot of blows, a lot of kicks going on, a lot of everything he was saying. But to be honest, I could not see the truth in it. Mm-hmm. When it comes to healthcare, he could not really stand up to clarify or make the way, the path clear for everybody to understand, whatever, because he said, I'm not going to do this. Then he jump again and say, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. So in the side of aggressiveness, I will say he's a fighter. He's ready to die for America, which is a good thing, but I don't know how he's going to back up everything he said. Mm-hmm. But Obama was very, very careful in everything he was trying to do.
Yeah.
I think he won on that side, and Romney won on aggressiveness.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing
me to
speak.
Thank you, Vincent. Well, I mean, Vince makes a good point, and that is that the aggressor, the challenger, can afford to make promises or statements.
Right.
Obama did that 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got nothing to lose by promising something. But once you're in office, you can't start doing that without, the follow-up.
Yeah, you have a record.
Yeah.
It's harder to run with a record when tough choices were made and people were angry and there's hyper-partisanship and the economy's not great. But that's hard to run on, and it's really easy to make those promises. And I actually think Obama did a good job of saying, your promises are vague promises. I've governed. I mean, he didn't say it that way. He should have. I've governed, and it's really hard. How are you going to make the choices? Tell me more about that budget. Tell me more, when he said, if you're 54, you're 55, you should be paying attention, when he was talking about Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah.
Those were effective points to say that he's promising you a lot. But it's really easy to do that when you're not specific.
All right. Join the debate. Over the debate. Take our poll at facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. We're also taking your calls today at 877-301-8970. I'm joined here in the studio by Aaron O'Brien from UMass Boston and Charlie Chipio from Chipio Strategies. And we've got Catherine from Massachusetts. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi. I guess I'm in the minority, but I thought I liked Obama last night. I went into the debate. I don't know a lot about debates, but I know what I want in a president. And I went in wanting to see intelligent people talk. I didn't want to see mudslinging or hear any more ads. I didn't want to have, listen to anything like that. I wanted to hear two intelligent people talk. And people are criticizing Obama, saying that he, didn't do enough punches. We've heard enough about the 47% and all of that. Do we want a president who's a good president that we can trust, that follows through and gets what the people need? Or do we want a slick guy that we don't really trust? That, I want somebody that I can trust.
Mm. Well, but the point on the 47% is that it never even came up. And you would think, as a talking point for Obama anyway, he would have used it as a strategic point. Believe me, not everybody is as well informed as you are, Catherine. And that was an opportunity. There was nowhere to turn last night if you were watching TV. You had to watch the debate. And so a lot of people were just captive, you know, and that was an opportunity that was missed because not everybody reads the newspaper or pays attention to the news. And there it was an opportunity to refresh in people's minds something that Mitt Romney said that was fairly dramatic. He didn't take that opportunity.
That's true. I have my daughter watching with me, though, who's young. And so for us, it was, a good experience. But no, I agree. I'm just hoping that people are happy with him next time.
Well, we hope you are. All right, Catherine.
I'm glad you had your daughter watching because in my house, when daddy watches politics, the kids go sprinting
away.
They do?
As a political scientist, I'm like, political socialization, this is fantastic.
My daughter's been counting all the signs when I take her to school. How many Elizabeth Warren signs? How many Scott Brown?
That's always a good...
She's a future social scientist.
That's a good indicator. It really is. All right, Catherine, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
That's interesting. How old are your kids, Charlie? They don't...
12 and 9.
Yeah, they're a little young, but I can remember my daughter.
I think it also has to do with the fact that I usually work at home.
Yeah.
So I'm always there.
Yeah. You're always watching politics or listening to politics.
Yeah.
All right, taking your calls today for a few more minutes, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're talking about last night's debate, which was virtually unanimously given to Mitt Romney. In fact, I think the one of those quick overnight polls I heard last night was 80-20.
Yeah, I saw 67-25 on CNN.
You know.
Wow. I mean, it was really just...
The numbers vary, but...
Yeah. Whoa. Anyway, let's see. We've got Jay from Fall River. Go ahead, Jay.
Hi, Emily. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I was wondering how we felt about the interruptions and running over the format of the debate. I would say that the clear loser last night was Jim in trying to sort of rein in the president and Mr. Romney. How do we feel about that?
Yeah, good question. There's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking over Jim Lehrer. I will say, though, that he made it clear in the beginning that he wasn't going to put a stopwatch. So he didn't have a timer going for either one of them, which I appreciated just in terms of a debate format. But, Charlie, there was a tremendous amount of criticism of
Jim Lehrer. At the risk of another, sports analogy, I felt like when I was a kid watching Willie Mays at the end of his career, like bumping into walls and dropping fly balls. I kind of felt like we were watching Jim Lehrer get old in front of our eyes last night.
I thought I took some students to the Warren Brown debate in Lowell this week. And my first thought was it was a bad week for commentators. It was a bad week for moderators of debates, but they were differentially bad.
Jay, you're talking about David Gregory.
Right. David Gregory, the left and the right both hated him. So you know you're doing something wrong. Really insert.
Or you're doing something right.
Potentially. I see your point. I don't buy it, but. He so inserted himself into that debate. David Gregory became quite central. He asked the same questions that were asked in the
pathetic.
Last debate.
Yeah.
And he left out major issues.
Yeah.
Reproductive issues,
equal
pay.
What happens when you bring in a big name who doesn't really know.
But Jim Lehrer did the same thing.
Yeah.
We did domestic policy and apparently, women's rights, major campaign narrative, equal pay, not there. Immigration, not there. And he was too passive. He was too passive and over his head. But both big names messed up. And, it's the farce of big name journalists coming in to say that they can know this and moderate this better. The Presidential Debate Commission needs to look inward in terms of how we do this.
I'm sure Jim was very flattered.
He was
on Greater Boston 2 years ago, and he said unequivocally he would never do it again. I'm going to be using that soundbite tomorrow night on Beat the Press.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was adamant.
And I'm sure he was flattered they came after him. He's done a nice job in the past, and he's neutral. This is the guy that doesn't vote.
Doesn't vote.
Right? He doesn't vote because he doesn't want anyone to think that he's slanted one way or another. So, I hate to say it, but I sort of agree with Charlie that he just seemed a little bit old and sort of out of touch.
Well, he got bullied in his questions. He left out major domestic policy issues. major domestic
policy.
There
were weak questions. They were mushy and kind of vague. There was no
nothing
specific.
Why not ask about the 47%?
Like, that's because, what I said. Why
not? Exactly. And Mitt Romney had a real opportunity there to have, you know, millions of people watching to expound
exactly.
on that.
Absolutely.
To say, you know, clarify. You know
question.
He was ready for it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right. Got time for move on to the next one.
Yes, exactly.
One more question or comment, I should say, here from Jeff from Boston. What do you got, Jeff?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment on the debates last night and watching it. I definitely Obama wasn't on his game. He was nervous the first 5 minutes, but I think more to the point, he was shocked on the stage as Mitt Romney, you know, transformed into the moderate. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there watching this man who over the last 10 months in the primaries was hard right on a lot of issues with a lot of tone and all his language. And here's this man sweeping across as a moderate with all these quick liners, and he's just, you know, shocked and not on his game. And I think the voters need to be smart enough to see that. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't watch the primaries. So it's going to be the campaign's job to educate everyone on that.
Yeah. Well, the president should have been ready for anything, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine a big-time national candidate who is going to be shocked when the other candidate moves to the center during the general. I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah, but I agree with the caller. I mean, maybe he should, to Charlie's point, he should have known it was coming. But, you know, post-primary and even at the convention, Romney stayed hard right when we expected the Etch-a-Sketch. We expected the move to the middle, and it didn't happen.
How did that work out for him?
Right, exactly. but it, true. But so to that point, it does become somewhat problematic there that he didn't anticipate it.
Yeah, he should have. I didn't have time, but Maureen from Hingham was calling, and she was saying that she had to shut off the debate because Obama was so bad and because all they were doing was talking numbers and people's eyes were glazing over. There was a lot of numbers talk. And,
and
then all that fact-checking. And we didn't even get into that.
You could, like, turn on the Yankees clinching the American League.
Oh, the whole thing. That was
really?
Which was more painful, the debate or the Red Sox game? All right, Aaron O'Brien, Charlie Chipio, Chipio Strategies, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And
Kelly
Crossley is back here in Studio 3.
Emily will get education, didn't get a lot of played at last night's debate. Maybe all those numbers got away. We've got financial expert Cheryl Marshall here to pick up the slack. She's been doing a cap and gown cost benefit analysis, looking at which colleges are landing college grads in good paying jobs. So the big question is, will paying a high tuition to go to a really good school pay off, literally, in the end? What's your take? What would
I don't
you
do? Know. I paid $54,000 a year for my daughter. She still doesn't have a gainful job.
So I guess that was not a good risk-benefit analysis for you. I'm Callie Crossley.
I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio.